This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emerus, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. Ever wonder why AMC Theaters went from bankrupt and closing down all of their theaters to one of the largest stock run and stock turnarounds of all time? And lately, there's been another run of GameStop stock to try and fight back against institutional investors. Who are these people? What are they fighting against? Why do I keep on hearing about this on the news? And what are they even talking about is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want to hear your question answered on here, have a question, or an idea for a future episode, please shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for the awesome questions that I've been getting over the last couple of weeks. Really good. And I promise you, I will do another mailbox episode soon. I know I've answered all of you guys, but these are probably things other people are wondering too. So get those questions in if you want to hear it on the next couple of weeks' episode. And lastly, we cannot forget about our dedicated sponsors, Napatrax and Promotive, for being loyal supporters of the show and the Aftermarket. Give Napatrax a call if you want to check out a new shop management software, and give Promotive a call if you need to get that right team member in the right place. Hey, did you know Napatrax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets you to learn more about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Visit them online at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. Promotive makes automotive recruitment simple. They get beyond the job boards and take care of every aspect of the recruiting process, giving you more time to focus on your shop and your customers. Visit them on the web at gopromotive.com. To lead off this story, we have to have the players involved. And to start off with it, we'll lead from the darker side of the story. Talked about before institutional investors, and you probably have heard a little bit about the GameStop story of kind of a Robin Hood type situation. And no, we're not talking about Robin Hood, the app for selling stocks, even though we will talk about them a little bit later. But essentially, this has been pegged as the Robin Hood of the 21st century. The poor or the have-nots trying to get together and really stick it to the man or stick it to Wall Street. And have they won? Maybe not the war, but definitely a couple battles here. There are many companies out there that have and still do what we are going to talk about this week, but few are as famous as a company called Bain Capital. You might not have heard of Bain Capital. You might have, but you probably heard of one of their founders, Mitt Romney. Yes, that Mitt Romney. And I know that it might be surprising to hear that a man that was run off of a presidential campaign for a story coming out that he strapped a dog to the roof of his car for a 12-hour drive. Yes, that is a real story. Go look it up. Might not be the best person, but I assure you, it is much worse than that. I have to kind of put this preface in here is some of this has been paraphrased. Some of this has been oversimplified. None of the stuff that I'm going to say is untrue. None of this embellished. All of this, unfortunately, is 100% accurate. But yeah, some of this is oversimplified, especially when we get to some of the investing and stock stuff, just to give you guys an idea of what's going on. One of the biggest things I like to talk about is unpack current events. There's so much stuff. I'll even talk about this later. GameStop has been all over the news. You guys have probably heard about this, but you, just like me at some point, was probably like, what the heck is even going on here? And no one talks about that aspect. They talk about it almost like they talk about crypto. This is purely speculative, but it's just a fad. But it's really, really much more than that, as we'll get into. But just had to put that kind of preface out there of, no, this isn't going to be the end-all be-all. I'm not going to get into the super, super technical stuff because it doesn't do you any good. You need to understand enough about what's going on and the principles behind it. And just the fact that some of this stuff is going on is probably going to be alarming to you, as I know it was for me the more and more that I researched it for this episode. Who is Bain Capital? You guys know who Mitt Romney is. But who is Bain Capital? What are they and what do they do? On the surface, Bain Capital is a classic private equity company. What does private equity mean? Let's unpack just the name of it. Private means not a public company. Some of these actually are, so a little bit convoluted here. But at some point, it was started as a private company. And they provide equity for other companies. More or less, Bain Capital is in the business of owning other businesses. Period. End of story. The other things that they do, how they do it, how they go about it, yeah, that is very unique. And they were really one of the trailblazers in this space. Now, unfortunately, this space is full of shitheads. Sorry for the language. But these people kind of invent. You wonder how someone has enough money to run for president. Here is a great example of how you do it. Generally, the classic example in most private equity companies that you've heard about, dealt with, seen them in this industry. There's private equity companies that go out and they buy other companies in this industry. Shop management software, you name it, private equity companies own it. Even the shop down the street, we've talked about it before, private equity companies are buying independent auto repair shops. And how do those companies make money? Well, most private equity companies are in for the long haul, meaning that they're in it to increase their investment. Now, generally, private equity companies are not in it for the long haul, as in years. They might have a long position, which means that you hope that the company goes up, not to be confused with a short position. We'll talk about that later. But generally, most private equity companies, they analyze something that they think is underperforming, that they think that they can go in there and make some changes and ultimately sell it to someone else for a higher amount. Essentially, private equity companies are flipping cars, but instead of flipping cars, they're flipping companies. They've done this before. They come in, they cut costs, they restructure the company. They improve it, they make it more profitable, more desirable, then they turn around and sell it. Went in, I bought this company for $20 million, made a bunch of changes, figured out the marketing, fine-tuned some things that they're missing on this, and then turned around and sold that company for $40 million, made a ton of money for me, ton of money for my friends. The hard part about the classical buying and holding or buying and appreciation here is, yeah, it doesn't always work out. Everyone has the best intention. But sometimes you take over companies and you realize, man, this is why they couldn't figure it out. We can't figure this out either. Having shares go up in a company is hard. Now, what about when shares go down? That's rather easy. Think about if I gave you a company and said, all right, you, with enough money, you could take over this company. And you are going to make money if the company essentially goes bankrupt, run it into the ground. And you think to yourself, man, I've inadvertently almost did that to my business before. If I really wanted to, this would be super easy. Go in there, hire the wrong people, make a bunch of terrible decisions, maybe even put out some advertising campaigns that will piss people off and actually make them not want to come and visit my business or spend money with me, alienate their core customers, change their core model of how they do it. All of these are real examples of what has been done by private equity companies. But why would someone that owns a company that even has at some point a majority of these shares, how the hell could they ever make money if the share price goes down? This is exactly what is going on here and kind of the darker side of private equity. Yes, you can make money if a stock goes up. You can also make money if a stock goes down. Let's talk about this. And I have my notes a little bit different, so I'm going to kind of skip around here. What we're talking about here is something called shorting stocks. You heard me mention this before of generally using long and short as phrases, also kind of are alluding to what you hope that the stock does. If you were to say, hey, I am long on that stock, means you're in there for the long haul. Again, not necessarily in length of time. Doesn't mean you're going to have that for 20 years. But essentially what you're saying is you believe that the stock price is low and you believe that the stock price is going to go up over the future. So that means that you are going to buy the stock now, you're going to hold on to it, and then down the road, you're going to sell it. On the other side of things, there is something called a short. If you remember back in 2007, 2008, the big short, a little bit different of what they were shorting, but the idea was still the same. If you look at a company, let's use Home Depot. You go into Home Depot and you look around and you're like, man, this is not the future. People are going to stop fixing stuff. People are going to stop buying stuff for their house. And I just don't believe in this company. I'm going to short this stock. What you're going to do by shorting that stock is you're going to say, hey, I am betting that stock price is going to go down. So if that stock price goes down, my investment is going to go up, right? It's called an inverse here. How you do that, there's a number of different ways. You can actually be selling the stock. You could be selling options on this. You could be having very complicated derivatives, all kinds of things to do this. But in a very common sense way, I'm going to explain to you how a short works. And this is not really how it works, but it is in every sense of the word. The way that shorting a stock works is like this. So
I don't believe in this company, right? We're going to use Home Depot, for example. So I don't believe in Home Depot. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to borrow some shares from someone else. And so I'm going to say, hey, give me 100,000 shares of Home Depot because I don't think it's going to do well. So I think that the stock price is going to go down. Give me 100,000 shares of Home Depot. I'm going to go, I'm going to sell them. I'm going to get my money. And 100,000 shares of Home Depot, I'm going to have a lot of money. Remember, I'm borrowing that maybe for 30 days, maybe for 90 days, maybe for 6 months, but I'm going to have to give you your shares back. Remember, I don't have to give you any money back. I borrowed shares. I did not borrow money. So if I borrowed your shares and the share is worth $100 and I have to pay you back and the share is now worth $5, yeah, I'm going to be pretty damn happy because I sold all those shares I borrowed at $100 and now to pay you back, I only need to buy those shares back at $5. It's went down 20 times on this. That is essentially how this works. So if you're going and you're looking at something like AMC or GameStop and you say, hey guys, I don't think this is a good company. I'm going to sell a lot of stocks of this and I'm going to pay it back at a later date because I know the stock prices are going to go down. When you sell that, you are making money. Instantly, day one, when I borrow that stock, I'm turning around and selling it. I made money. If that stock goes to zero, I don't have anything to pay back. Hey, I can give you your shares back, but they're worthless. So actually, I could make even more money by that stock price going to zero than I could by it ever growing. And what do you think is going to be easier? To grow a stock, to make a good business, to create a long-lasting business, or burn it down in a horrific sense and the faster the better? Well, yeah. These guys realize, just like you have on this episode, that it's much quicker, much easier, and a lot of times much more profitable to run a company in the ground than it is to grow it. How the heck are they going to do this? The whole company, there's other investors on here that have a say and are probably like, I don't want to see my investment go to nothing. Ever heard of the phrase, it takes money to make money? Well, it takes money to lose money to a certain extent as well. I will give you an example of how this has worked. Now, who has Bain Capital done this for? You can look up. There is a laundry list of people that have been on the receiving end of some of these tactics. One of the most famous examples of this, Toys R Us. Toys R Us, KB Toys, that was actually both going on at the same time. And the model is pretty easy. Just look at the surface itself. When I go and I borrow that stock from someone else, these guys are not doing it with 100 shares. They're not even doing it with 1,000 shares. Hundreds, millions of shares. Sometimes enough for they even have majority interest of the company. Because even though they do not have those shares, they borrowed them, they still own enough in the stock that they can probably put their friends on the board. They can make decisions. They can borrow money on behalf of the stock. They can take salaries out of it. And they control the board, the hiring decisions, the CEO, and everything like this. So let's say that I was really a jerk here and I wanted to make sure that I did not have to pay my buddy back good money for Home Depot. So I went out, I borrowed these shares from him and I'm going to have to pay him some interest on that. Whatever, I don't care. I'm going to make so much money, I'll pay him interest on this. But I'm going to borrow his shares and I'm going to sell those shares. But because of how many shares my buddy have, I now am the majority shareholder of Home Depot. Like I said, I don't want to pay my buddy back anything if I can help it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go get some sweet stuff. I borrowed a bunch of shares. I sold all that. So I'm going to go buy the mansion. But I need more money. And now I'm the majority shareholder of Home Depot. So I'm going to take some money out of the company as well too. Home Depot doesn't have any money. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to take a bunch of loans in Home Depot's name, right? Because Home Depot is not me. That's my company. So Home Depot is going to take some loans. And I don't know, probably will never be able to pay it back. But that's what bankruptcy is for. That's why I have friends in high places and friends in politics to be able to make these laws for it to be easier for me to walk away when I bankrupt a company. Again, kind of a joke there. That is a completely true statement. Look up Elizabeth Warren. This is not a Democrat or Republican thing. Elizabeth Warren, very famous for writing the exact bankruptcy laws that we see today. And then also, while her time in politics, she took a short exit to go and train Wall Street and some of these other institutional investors on how to navigate those new bankruptcy laws to make it work best for them. Again, yes, 100% true. I have sold all of these stocks. I've made a bunch of money. I borrowed some money. Yeah, I'm on salary. I'm on the board of Home Depot, and I'm going to hire the biggest moron that I know to be the CEO of the company, right? I'm going to bring Greg in here, and I know Greg will run this into the ground because everything Greg touches turns to crap. And sure enough, other people on the board might not have liked it, but hey, I own more shares of them, so they're going to come along for the ride. I'm going to put out a couple of advertisements out there that's really going to outcast my core group of people. And this CEO, every single time he gets on TV, he makes people feel less and less confident about what we're trying to do here. Something is going on with Home Depot. I don't like it. I'm going to start running away. And this is what happens. Now, the part that's even crazier is just the selling of that many shares will bring stock price down. It's a fairly straightforward idea, supply and demand. If there is a lot of demand for a stock, meaning a lot of people want to buy it, the stock price is going to go up. If people are selling a bunch of that stock, then the demand is technically down. So just the fact of some of these guys with their original short position, right? Just that original trade where they borrowed that stock from their buddy and sold all of those is enough to bring the stock price down. And there's been instances of this, pump and dump, different things like that, where you can happen it very quickly. Because depending on how big the stock is, there's enough volume over the course of a week and a month to smooth this out. But yeah, if you have one of these major players sell a bunch of stock in one day, they alone can control the market. And this is the whole idea here, is these guys are so big, these guys have enough money, just them doing something affects the actual market themselves. So them selling a stock, betting on the stock goes down, is actually going to make the stock go down in itself. If they just stop there, it'd be bad. But like I said, they don't stop there. They take over the company, they try to run it into the ground and try to make it go to zero. You might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, how is any of this legal? And to a certain extent, it is all legal. Now, there's one aspect of this where they always get greedy. And the reason I say they always get greedy on it is because it is not legal to do. It happens all the time. They get fined. But think about it. They've made hundreds of millions of dollars on some of this. So if you were looking at this and saying, hey, if you're going to do what I'm about to tell you, you're going to get a $5 million fine. But then you're also still going to make the $150 million in profit behind the scenes. Would you really think twice about doing this? Absolutely not, right? Fines, sanctions, that's all part of the game. It's all coming out of their profit and loss. So what is illegal for them to do is only one aspect of this. Buying a company, selling the shares, borrowing stock from your friend, paying interest on those stocks, putting a CEO in place, running into the ground, destroying a business is all truly 100% legal. Would it be legal for me to go and buy a company and collude with another one to try and control the market and try to gain market share? No, that would be 100% illegal. That's anti-competitive. There is mergers. There's all kinds of stuff like this that forbid that from happening. But there's not really anything of someone going in there and just running their own business into the ground. Now, will there be at some point? Probably not. Do you remember who I said started that company? These very politicians that are in there are the same ones that are voting for these laws. This will never stop anytime soon. But what we're having with GameStop is the people trying to say, hey, we're going to do something against it. Before I get into what's actually going on with the GameStop stuff and kind of wrap this whole thing up, I will have to tell you what is illegal here. Napatrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice, and having a local representation is a huge plus. Customizing tracks to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, our representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business, with a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. Are you tired of spending endless hours searching for the perfect talent to join your team? Promotive is your full-service automotive staffing solution. At Promotive, we believe in being more than just a recruiting agency. We become an extension of your team, working tirelessly to ensure we place the right talent with the right shops. With our always-be recruiting mindset, we're constantly seeking out the best professionals in the industry. We manage 90 to 95% of the recruiting process, taking the burden off your shoulders. When you partner with Promotive, you gain a dedicated recruiter and account manager who will work closely with you, understanding your unique requirements and seeking out candidates who fit seamlessly into your shop's culture.
We'll ensure that every candidate we present is thoroughly vetted and aligned with your needs. With Promotive, you'll have a peace of mind knowing that we're handling the recruitment process with expertise and precision. We don't just match resumes, we match character, culture, and long-term success. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and experience the power of Promotive's expertise and dedication. Together, we'll build a stronger and more successful team.
What is illegal is something called selling a naked short. So selling a short is what I explained before. I am going to borrow shares from someone. I'm going to pay him interest in the meantime, but I actually have someone else's shares. I just don't own them. They're someone else. Now, these guys were doing this, and they were doing this so successfully that they were like, hey, we know that the stock is not going to go up. Why are we wasting all this money on interest? Why don't we just sell these stocks? Yeah, we're not supposed to do that. That is a naked short because we're selling something that we don't have, but we know that the stock price is going to go down. We're so good at doing this that we're never going to get caught. How do they know that people are selling naked shorts, and how could you look up right now? Well, there's been times that their company has actually been oversold. What does that mean? That means that if you look out there, that they've sold shorts on 1.1 million of this share. Now, none of the ones we're talking about, they're a little bit bigger, and so it'd be a little bit more obvious for them to do it. But some of these smaller ones have actually been identified that they had a huge short position because they were oversold. They literally said, well, hey, we don't know who's doing it, but someone has sold 1.2 million shares of this company combined, and there's only 1 million of these shares outstanding. So someone here is lying. Someone here is selling shares they don't have, because how can you sell 1.2 million of something when there's only a million of those out there? Yeah, people get caught, and generally when they get caught is when they get trapped in something called a short squeeze. Now, what is a short squeeze and what is going on with GameStop is really the one answer for two questions here. All of this started back in 2021 for GameStop. This is when this first came out. What was going on with GameStop is, like I said, Bain Capital's been doing this for a while. Bain Capital was originally founded in the 80s, I think 1984 on this. I've been operating somewhat similarly for decades. Early 2000s, Toys R Us, KB Toys and stuff like that was really when they started to ramp up and get some serious cash in their pocket, but they're still going strong today. What was going on in 2021, and there's crediting one guy to kind of figuring this out, but it was kind of a larger internet community that kind of banded behind it and said, hey, we know what's going on. We know enough about financials. We know enough about the market to see exactly what is going on here. And it doesn't seem like anyone cares. The government knows that they're doing this. They know what's going to happen. They're even saying this is going to run into the ground. This is going to go to zero. In 2021, they had done pretty much what we were talking about before. They had come in. They had kind of disenfranchised a lot of their core employees. They had said, hey, this is a failing business on it. No one wants brick and mortar. No one wants brick and mortar video games anymore. And they had put, I believe, a president or CEO in there that was just kind of a dumbass too, that was kind of screwing it up even more. So for Bain Capital and a bunch of his other buddies on here, because when I say buddies, when one of these guys is going insane selling a short, they're going to tell their friends, hey guys, I'm sinking this ship. Want to hop on? Go for it. It's going to the bottom. Throw me a couple bucks and we'll all make money off of this. The public that saw this said, hey, we got to do something about this. This is not right. They have this. They have oversold this. There are so many short positions on here. What about if we make them eat crow? What happens if we can come out here? We say, no, bullshit. We're going to make this. We're going to make the stock price go up because we see this. We see the potential in this business. And if nothing else, let's just drive up the demand just like they drive down the lack of demand. If you guys can game this just with one person for the stock price to go down, then if we get 100 of us, if we get 1,000 of us, if we get 100,000 of us together, we can do the exact same thing and have the price go up. What happens if you have a short where you borrowed stock at $100 and it goes down to $5? Yeah, you're going to make $95 on every single share that you have to pay back your friend. Now, what happens if you sell shares at $100 and those shares go up to $1,000? You bankrupted your company. Your company is not going to be able to pay back your friend. You're going to default on that loan because you physically do not have enough money to buy back the shares that you borrowed. And this is where we saw actually businesses crumble in 2021. It gets a little bit darker and there's a lot of different angles to this story. Some of these people truly just got burned on this because they never owned this stock. They had talked to their buddy Mitt. Mitt said, just sell it, dude. You don't need to own it. It's going down to the bottom. And so then when they stopped, tripled, quadrupled, I think that the largest run back when this happened in 2021 wasn't of GameStop, but another company, went up 3,000%. It went up 30 times. That's crazy. No one's going to be able to afford that even if you owned it before. Another thing on this is using something called leverage. So not only were they selling some shares that they didn't have, they also trade on something called margin. And think about it this way. Margin is just like you buying your house. When you buy $1 million house, did you put $1 million down? No, you probably put $100,000, $200,000 down, but you can use five times the money that you have because you're borrowing it from someone else. These guys are doing the same thing with stocks. If they're leveraging this five times, 10 times, 50 times, all this is happening. If a stock goes up a dollar, they make 50 bucks. But if a stock goes down a dollar, their investment goes down a dollar, they lose $50. So the ceiling is huge. You can make a ton of money very quickly, but you could also lose money extremely, extremely, extremely fast. Why there is kind of an old boys club here and why this has kind of not been broken up here is there's all the same characters. Bain Capital, the large institutional lenders, Chase, PNC, Wells Fargo. Who do you think is loaning Bain Capital money to go out and take over these companies to sell these shorts? This is all so intermingled that if one of these falls, they all fall, and they've teamed together very well to try and keep a stranglehold on this, which they've done successfully. When this first started in 2021, like I said, there was been identified of AMC, GameStop, a number of other companies that they had seen the writing on the wall. They knew what these companies were trying to do, and they said, no, we're not. We're all going to buy it. I'm going to tell my friends to buy it, and we're going to hang on to this, and we're going to send this stock to the moon. And when this stock goes to the moon, these guys are going to have to buy it back, and they're going to have to take massive losses if they don't want to lose everything altogether. And it did just that. What ends up happening is when one of these companies, like we said, when they sell these stocks, the price goes down. If they get caught in one of these short squeezes and they see their investments start to get more and more expensive, meaning, hey, we're going to have to buy this back. And now it's at $20. Now it's at $25. All right, let's just cut our losses and let's just buy this thing back at $30. We got burned on this. Now, what happens if you buy that much in shares? The stock price goes up. And so it was this big cat and mouse game because these companies didn't want to screw each other, but they also didn't want to be the last one to act because the first venture capital company that went and closed their position and just bought back those shares is going to start a chain reaction because they're saying, all right, uncle, you got me. I'm going to sell my shares back. Now the shares jump again. One of these other private equity companies says, shit, we are way upside down on this. We're getting out now too. The stock just keeps going higher and higher and higher. That's why you can see these monstrous peaks, these monstrous spikes of the market actually driving the price up on here. Now, like I said, these guys don't like to lose. They don't like to have been on a level playing field. And one of the major platforms that people were using to trade on this was a platform called Robinhood. Robinhood was an app very similar to E-Trade or something like that, where you can buy and sell stocks. Now, what happened during some of these different stock runs back in 2021 on this, Robinhood was freezing people's account. They were not letting people trade. They were not letting people withdraw because who was one of Robinhood's biggest investors? Citadel. Another who's who's of dark money, piece of crap kind of private equity people. Now, I don't mean to be rude to these. Maybe your brother or your cousin works at Citadel and maybe they do a lot of good things as far as your opinion on this, but they were the biggest push for Robinhood to halt trading. Anytime that you have trading halted on it is generally because they feel like that there's information that is not publicly available. If they see a major run up or down on our company, they'll just pause it to say, what is going on there? This was not what's going on. Everyone knew why that stock was going up. Everyone knew who was making that stock go up. Now, does this ever happen when Bain Capital is doing this and everyone else is losing a bunch of money? No, because 100 million people do not have a combined voice. But when 100,000 or a million people have a combined voice against people that have very deep pockets on this, they'll listen to them and say, hey, stop that trading, right? This is enough. Don't let them mess with this. This is our job. This is our playing field. Get them out of there. Now, did they ever get in trouble? No, people yelled, people screamed, but really nothing happened on this. Did it work? No, to a certain extent it did. It proved a point. It really woke up the market and woke up these private equity companies of, man, the public has more power than we think. Now, the one thing going for them is that everyone gets greedy. No one is really wanting to hold on to this forever. Because think about it, if you bought a GameStop at $1, you bought 100 shares of that, are you really going to hold on when that reached 15 bucks? You've just 15 times your investment. And most people got out. Most people are not in it for the long haul. But in the meantime, a couple of private equity companies got ran out of town, went bankrupt on it, defaulted on this. Now, the sadder part about it is the other private equity companies just bought them out, so they became stronger. But ever since then, this has been a cat and mouse game. Now, the market's been looking for is other situations. AMC's went on a couple run. The reason I'm doing this episode now is GameStop last week went another run here because they see these squeezes happening. Some of the people got out. Some of the people hung on there. There is still monstrous short positions on there. Now, want to hear another funny short position? You might have heard this talk about this before. Bill Gates, big proponent of global warming, stopping all that, giving everyone whatever. Also, one of the largest holders of shorts in Tesla. Right? There's a very famous, if you look up Elon Musk, Bill Gates short on this. Bill Gates, I think asked for Elon to donate to something or come to some charity event on this. And he said, no. He said, why? He goes, you still shorting Tesla? He goes, yeah, well, I am. It's like, why would I ever go and support you? And also, how could you ever say that you support these climate initiatives that you say that you do when you are shorting one of the only companies out there creating electric vehicles and trying to do something about it? At the end of the day, these guys don't care about anything besides money. If it's a good company, bad company, it doesn't matter. Which side am I on and which way do I want this to go? Is this the exact explanation about how things are going and the explanation behind everything in a stock market? Absolutely not. However, these are the kinds of things that go on with our market all the time and still get very little actual coverage. As I talked about in this one, you've seen this on the news. You've seen them talk about GameStop, but not really what is going on. And you have to wonder why. Is this a level playing field that you or some top heavy old boys club of getting richer and richer by the day? Between 2020 and 2021, the billionaires around the world, overall wealth grew by $4.4 trillion, while over 100 million people were dropped below the international poverty line. So don't cry for Mitt Romney. He will be just fine, unfortunately. Please share with friends if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes. Please shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com. and on your favorite podcast listening app. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.